So this morning we are continuing our Summer of Stories. It's our study of the parables of Jesus. And if we remember what a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And of course, Jesus is the master of the parable. Our parable this week, again, comes from Luke chapter 7. But we're going to be in verses 31 through 35. Luke 7, 31 through 35. But as you're turning to that passage of Scripture, I want to introduce you to a young lady named Mackenzie.
Happy birthday!
No way!
Happy birthday!
It's red.
Yeah, you don't know how
Dad,
hard
this was
to answer.
Dad, it's red! What?
Mackenzie, it's fine!
I've asked you a million freaking times, I wanted a blue car, Dad!
Come on, Mackenzie.
Ryan, stop filming.
But,
okay,
oh, Dad, it's off.
Please, look, just try it, okay?
Mackenzie, it's not that bad.
How can I help you? Shut up! Oh my God, you
don't shut up! Just try it. Just give it a spin around the driveway.
Okay. So this is Mackenzie. And I think most of us would agree that she's acting a little bit like a spoiled brat. But let's allow her to explain herself.
Hi everyone, I'm Mackenzie. I don't know if you saw my horrible birthday video that my little brother, so stupid, put up on the web. It just makes me look so horrible and all, but I'm so not like that, like at all, you know? I'm not. Anyway, it's just, I try to do something nice and tell my parents exactly what I want for my birthday. I told them I wanted a blue car, you know, and they gave me a red one. Like, I mean, come on. Like, how hard is it to get the right color, you know? Anyway, it's just, red doesn't match anything I own. Like, you know, I wear blue, like my camera phone is blue, like my eyes are blue, everything is blue, you know? I don't have anything red in my room, like at all. So anyway, so I have to make all these decisions now because either I keep all my stuff and everything I know and own, or I keep the car. So I hate decisions.
Wow. Okay, so that's Mackenzie. That's real, apparently. Everything on the internet's real, right? And again, so we're diving in to this week's parable, and we see that Jesus had to deal with some spoiled brats in his day. So again, let's go to Luke 7, beginning in verse 31. The words of Jesus. Jesus says, "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like?" Now, Jesus is referring specifically to the religious people and the intellectuals of the day. If you look in verse 30 of that chapter, you're going to see that. And so Jesus is saying, who do I compare the people of this generation to? And he says in verse 32, they are like children. Spoiled brat kind of children, we're going to see, sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep. And then Jesus continues to explain what he's talking about here in verse 33. He says, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. Then the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." Okay, so what is Jesus saying here in this parable? What he's doing is he's painting a picture that the religious leaders were really acting like a bunch of spoiled children. They were playing games with God, and because of that, they were missing it. You see, what happened is that these religious leaders decided that they were going to play a game, and the first game that they were going to play could be called the happy game, or maybe you want to call it the wedding game. And they were wanting everybody to go along with them and be happy and joyful and smiley. But who came along and spoiled their plans but John the Baptist, who came very serious. And he was preaching repentance and calling people to fast and get ready for the Messiah. He didn't play their game, so they got annoyed. And then these spiritual leader children decided now we're going to play the happy game. Now we're going to play the sad game. And it's going to be like a dirge. It's going to be more like the funeral game that we want to play now. And so we want everybody to play along with us in this game. But here's what happened. Jesus showed up in the middle of them wanting to play the sad game. And Jesus showed up not sad, but full of joy, full of hope, full of life. He didn't fit in. And so again, the spiritual leaders of the day got annoyed. They wrote him off. They decided to whine, to complain, to call these men of God, John, and of course Jesus, to begin calling them names. And they decided, you know what, we're going to take our ball and we're going to go home and we're not going to play with you. So the title of today's sermon is Beware of Spiritual Brats. Beware of spiritual brats. And I just want to preface all of this right now by saying this. This church family is the furthest thing from the people that we're going to be talking about this morning. You are not Mackenzie's. Now, if your name is Mackenzie, you're not like that Mackenzie. Okay? This church is anything but that. So I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm believing this morning that what we're going to see is we're going to have our minds open and our eyes open to this so that, number one, we'll never become that because it really does look pretty ugly. And the other thing is that when we identify spiritual brats out there, that we can see where they're coming from. We won't let that hurt us or deter us from what we're doing for the Lord, and we can just pray for them. So I just want to preface all of this with that. I'm preaching to the choir this morning, okay? Look, I know you don't always hear the term brat used in a sermon. And I also want to apologize. Some of the words that Mackenzie was using on the video are not words that we use in our family and in our church family. But again, that just goes along with, I guess, where she is with things right now. But you don't always hear this term brat used in a sermon. But I think if you hang with me here, that we're going to see it's very appropriate. Because after all, what Jesus is doing in this parable is comparing these spiritual leaders to a bunch of brat children. That's what he's doing. And so like Mackenzie, what's going on here is that the spiritual leaders of the day have been asking their father for a gift. Right? So Mackenzie's asking her dad for a car, for a new car. Well, the spiritual leaders had been for years and years and years asking their heavenly father God for a gift. They've been asking him for a Messiah. Send us a Messiah. Send us a deliverer. Send us our Savior. We want the Messiah. We want the Messiah. And like a good father, what did God do? He sent them a Messiah. He gave them what they were asking for. And in fact, what God did was He even went beyond that, because we know that God goes above and beyond even what we could ever hope for or imagine, even as we're talking about the new building that He's giving to us. Above and beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. So God does that to the spiritual leaders of the day, and He sends a messenger ahead of the gift to let them know the gift is on the way. The gift is coming. The gift is coming. The gift is coming. Get ready. It's going to be exciting. Get ready. Here comes the gift. That's just how good God is. Isn't it exciting when you know you have a gift on the way? You know something's in the mail and you just can't wait. You can't wait. Well, God knows that we're wired that way because we're wired in His image. And so He's letting His children know the gift is on its way. He's coming. But the messenger was rejected, and so was the gift. These spiritual brats rejected John the Baptist, the forerunner, and then they rejected Jesus, the Messiah. Why? Because neither man fit into their religious mold, and neither one would play their spiritual games. Again, this is the context of the parable that Jesus has for us. Specifically, Jesus points out in the parable that they rejected John the Baptist because he was too serious. Right? And they were just in this happy-go-lucky mood, and since John the Baptist, you know, wasn't, again, playing their little games, they said, no, because what? John probably preached a little loud. He was a little crazy. He probably looked and even smelled a little, he didn't fit their mold. Can't be from God. Look at the guy. Listen to the guy. We're hearing something different. We're feeling something different. We're wanting something different. So He didn't play that happy game, and they rejected him. And then Jesus in this parable is showing us that as he arrives, they reject him for the complete opposite reason. Jesus is too sociable. He's too happy. He would even minister with sinners. And after all, every spiritual religious person knows there's a line that you cannot cross. And Jesus was crossing that line every single day. And so in essence, these spiritual brats wanted a blue car, but instead, Jesus came as a red car, and they rejected him. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, think about how crazy. I watched everybody's face, and I heard your responses with Mackenzie. Are you kidding me? You got a brand new red car for your birthday? You're rejecting that? That's what happened here with Jesus. The world got what they've been praying for. The Messiah, the King of Kings, God Himself coming and walking on this earth to bring His kingdom. And He didn't look like they thought He should look like. And so they said, take a hike. This is how spiritual brats operate. If you don't fit into their mold, if you don't play their game, if you don't look like them, they will reject you and call you names. Demoniac, glutton, those are some of the things they call John and Jesus. Heretic may call you a Jesus freak, a charismaniac. I don't know what they're going to call you. I've heard all kinds of things. Dangerous. I've been called that before. Amen. Amen. So, anyway, just as this happened in Jesus' generation, it continues today. This kind of activity, you know, this kind of character happens today. And so how can we identify spiritual brats? Let's look at just a few ways. Okay, the first way that we can identify a spiritual brat is that they find fault with other believers. That's what they do. Spiritual brats look, they like to look around every corner for the doctrinal boogeyman. They do. Trying to find a reason to criticize pastors and ministers, churches, whole ministries, denominations, whatever it might be. Looking for a reason to write people off. To say, why, you know what? You shouldn't listen to that guy. You shouldn't go to that church. There's problems. Look out. I have many Facebook friends, and I've had some interesting relationships on Facebook with people. And one of those relationships was from somebody who would send me a link every single day from a blog or some website saying, this person's a heretic or that person's a heretic. I mean, literally every single well-known minister that you could think of, I received some kind of a link, some kind of a message from this Facebook friend saying why they're wrong and why they're dangerous and why we need to tell the world, look out. I mean, it got annoying, frankly. And I let them know that. Because all they're doing is gossiping. There was no good coming out of it. They would even send me links from so-called pastors who would preach these sermons, and literally the whole sermon, all it was why this other particular pastor is so bad and so wrong. That was it. That was the whole sermon. So, I didn't defriend the person, but I did hide their comments and their other things, because it was just like, okay, I'm getting tired. It was getting a little nauseating. Fault finding has become the entire focus of some ministries, though. Did you know that? There are actually churches out there and whole ministries that all they do is go around looking for why others in the body of Christ are wrong. Whole churches. That's their whole MO. They think that they're the gatekeepers of truth. They think that they're protecting the church. And so they examine every minister in every ministry looking for fault, reasons to criticize, and when they don't fit into what they believe is good doctrine and practice, boom, they start throwing the bombs. And with the internet now, it's pretty easy to do that. And after all, everything you see on the internet, you got to believe it, right? Wish people would read their Bible more than the internet, more than Facebook. I'm even getting convicted of that. You know, I mean, like, whoa, wait a minute. What these spiritual brats are really doing, these fault finders are doing, they're not really helping the body of Christ, but what they're doing is they're creating division and disunity. And this is exactly the kind of people that Jesus is talking to in this particular parable. He's saying it's not healthy and it's not good. Now, I want to make sure that nobody hears what I'm not saying this morning. Okay? Because I want you to be very clear that doctrine is important. What we believe is extremely important. In fact, I remember the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying to him, watch your life and your doctrine closely. What we believe matters, and it matters greatly. God's Word tells us many times to beware of false prophets and false teachers and false doctrine. In fact, you look at many of the epistles of the New Testament, they're addressing false teaching. So it is important. But spiritual brats don't ever really go deep enough to see what's really being talked about there. They just rush to judgment. They see some external evidences for something that they think kind of smells bad, and they just, again, they start throwing those bombs. And we know that bombs bring destruction and hurt. And they're throwing bombs at fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I like the saying that says that it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Have you all ever heard that? It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And if we ever find ourselves cursing the darkness instead of lighting the candle, if we ever find ourselves cursing or criticizing one another and other brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of going out there and being the light and being the salt and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ into the world, then things are backwards and things are wrong and things are out of balance. We need to be the salt and the light, and we need to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to spend our time. And I'll tell you this, if you are somebody, if I am somebody that after I have fully exhausted all the resources and everything God's given me to go shed the light, if I have time after that to then go in and maybe bring up some issues with some other people, then okay, maybe there's time for that. But until you have fully utilized everything the Lord has put in you and what He's created you to be to go shine the light of Jesus Christ, I say let's not mess around with cursing the darkness. Let's bring the good news of Jesus. That's what people need to hear. They don't need to hear the church bickering and calling each other names. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. He's the good news. So spiritual brats, again, they like to find fault with others. Let's go on to the second thing that we see. Another characteristic of a spiritual brat is they like to focus on style over substance. Again, the spiritual brats of Jesus' time, they found the style of John the Baptist and the style of Jesus to be offensive to them, so much so that they never even spent the time to listen and hear what they were saying. They never took the time to listen to the message of either man. They just didn't look right, they didn't feel right, they didn't even smell right to them. And so they wrote them off. They never got to the substance. So a spiritual brat focuses on style over substance. And because these spiritual brats of that day did that, they missed the message of the kingdom and of the Messiah. Because they wrote them off. This happens when people operate out of the flesh rather than the spirit. That's what's happening there. When we have that tendency, it's our flesh. It's pride. It's all that kind of junk. It's junk. It's yucky junk. Instead of operating out of the Spirit. Their flesh is offended at what it perceives, and so they reject it without allowing to be led by the Spirit into the real substance and message that they're supposed to hear from the Lord. Now, again, I'm not saying that every single minister and every single thing they say is always what you need to be listening to. So, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. But a spiritual brat, they focus on the silly things. Oh, worship, it's too loud, or it's too long. You keep singing this song that says the same thing over and over, you know, and I don't know, that just doesn't feel right. I had somebody come to the church. They were all excited to come visit us, and this was a few years back, soon after we moved into this building. They'd been listening to sermons online, and they were like, oh, that sounds great, and I love that, and can't wait to come. So they showed up, and after the service, they proceeded to tell me that they aren't going to be coming back because they just didn't think that it was right for us to put the scripture text on the screen. They thought that that caused, you know, that was just a lazy thing for the congregation. And so they were offended at that, and that this obviously wasn't the church for them. There are silly things that we can get sidetracked on and focused on and miss what God is trying to say to us and do in our lives because of that. Spiritual brats focus on style over substance, and they often miss the substance because of that. Personally, I'm not a fan of Christian rap or hip-hop music. It's just not my thing. Back in the day when I was in junior high, I loved rap music. The wrong kind. You know, I used to break dance and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I'm old. I'll admit it. I'm aging. I'm a little out of touch maybe. But it's just not my thing. But by God's grace, I'm never going to judge any other believer, any other ministry, any other church, if that's what ministers to them, if that's how they worship God, then let them use that form, that style, to worship Him, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to go places where my kind of music can't go and won't go and won't be accepted. It's not about what we personally like or don't like, and we got to stay away from that. Because if that's what we're doing, then we're operating out of the flesh. We're being led by the flesh. And if you're being led by the flesh, you're missing all that God has for you. Who in here likes Christian hip-hop, like rap music? Raise your hand. God bless you! You are needed in the body of Christ! You have a place in the body of Christ! I affirm you! I appreciate the statement that is most often attributed to Augustine, and some of you are familiar with it, where he says that in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. What he's saying there is, you know, there are essential beliefs and doctrines of the faith. And we've got to be on the same page with those things. I mean, I think of some of the essentials. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and He came down to this earth, sent by His Father. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and He redeemed us because of that. But He didn't stay in the grave. He was risen again to have victory over sin and over death. And all who make Him their Lord and Savior are saved. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. That's an essential doctrine. And the church needs to have unity in that. And there are those who say they are Christians and they're part of the Christian faith that don't believe that essential doctrine and other essential doctrines. Okay, there's not unity then. They're not part of the body of Christ. But then there are those doctrines that are non-essentials, that aren't the big rocks, that aren't the important things. I mean, some of those are even doctrines like sovereignty versus free will. I mean, that's something that people argue about day in and day out. Is since the beginning of time, that has been an argument, literally the beginning of time. I don't want to go into, you know, the details of all that, but I can say that I have brothers and sisters on both sides of the fence, and I love them dearly. I respect them dearly. I listen to their teachings on both sides. And the Lord has so much to say and so much to do with people on both sides of that fence. Amen. And there's no reason to not be unified as the body of Christ or to throw bombs and rocks at each other just because we're in different places. Now, what we believe matters. And so what we believe even in that arena is going to affect how we live and how we walk out our faith. But we're all part of the body of Christ. Non-essentials. We need to have liberty with one another. But in all things, I love what Augustine says here. In all things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. We've got to have charity. We've got to love one another. We've got to show love and grace and mercy toward one another. And throwing spiritual bombs and all that kind of junk at one another isn't charity. It isn't love. So again, I know I'm preaching at the choir, but I'm getting pretty excited about this. We've got to be careful not to criticize other ministries simply because they don't look like we do, simply because they're just a little different on the outside. And you know the saying, it's not in the Bible, but don't judge a book by its cover. Be very careful about that, okay? All right, the third thing that we see, and we're going to get wrapping up here shortly. The third thing that we find a characteristic of a spiritual brat is they form a critical spirit. So ultimately what happens is that practice of finding fault and then focusing on style over substance ultimately leads to forming a critical spirit in a person. And that's just not good. Critical spirit can drive people to become ridiculous. I mean, I actually had somebody call me, and they were so concerned for me and for this church. And they were letting me know that it's very, that they believe that, you know, we're just in a dangerous place right now because we have an association with another ministry whose leader 10 years ago shared the stage with another minister who now, 10 years later, present time, there was a blog about him, and there was some concern about some of the practices that they are doing in their ministry right now. And so because of that, you know, going all the way back through everything, we need to be really careful of who we associate with. And I'm like, I mean, that's how crazy things get when you get a critical spirit. You start severing relationships with people because of other relationships that were a long time ago, because of things that might or might not even be happening, that nobody ever calls the source and gets down to the nitty-gritty and really finds out what's happening. But if you have a body of Christ that's operating out of a critical spirit, what's going to be the ultimate effect of that? Cutting off relationships, cutting off fellowship, disunity. Read God's Word. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to create a disjointed, disunified, broken up, you know, bomb-throwing church family. There are dysfunctional families out there, and I am sorry if you're part of one, and God can change that. Keep praying about it. But dysfunctional families beat one another up, and there's never peace in those families. And it's not how God created the family to be. The same thing with the church. The local body and the greater body of Christ. We are not created to be dysfunctional and to be tearing each other apart. But we're called to build one another up. A critical spirit is a tool in the hands of Satan, as it contributes to dividing the body of Christ instead of building up. So I want to get to the conclusion. I want to close with just a few thoughts here. You've heard the saying, it's my way or the highway. Maybe some of you have used that. Hopefully not too recently. It's my way or the highway. That's the mindset of a spiritual brat. It really is. Again, if you don't look and act like me, then you're wrong. So take a hike. But Jesus wraps up this parable with this statement. It's in verse 35 of our scripture this morning. Jesus says, yet wisdom is justified by all her children. It's ESV. But wisdom is justified by all her children. I have four kids. Most of you know that. They're all different, obviously. Different ages, they have different personalities, different dreams, different habits, different skills, different strengths, different callings in life. And every one of them is precious to me and is an important, critical part of our family. We wouldn't be the same without all of our children. It would change who we are as a family if we threw one of them out. Jesus concludes this parable by reminding us that though we are many, and though we are different, we are one body in Him, in Christ. We all matter. We're all important. We're all children, and we all have unique roles in His plans and in His purposes. I mean, have we ever considered that God just maybe, just might have called His children to different missions, to different expressions of who He is, to different styles, to different callings, to act and to appear different, and that in that He is glorified? Just maybe that's what God has done. Maybe we're not supposed to all look alike. Maybe we're not supposed to all act alike. So instead of criticizing the other parts of the body, I believe what Jesus is encouraging us here is that we need to celebrate and we need to thank God for our uniquely created and our heavenly called brothers and sisters. instead of criticizing, thank God. Bless our brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Encourage them. I'm friends with many local pastors. We have a prayer group that gets together every Tuesday. And can't say I make it every Tuesday, but make it more times than not. And it's a hodgepodge group of believers, of pastors, of leaders of churches here in Gilbert and Chandler. And we all look different. I'm the tallest. We all act different. We all think differently. We think differently about several things. Exactly how should the gifts of the Spirit be used in church gatherings? We think differently on those things, about free will and sovereignty and exactly where that line is and where it all works. And we think differently about, and we act differently. Our churches look very different. Some are more liturgical. Some are even more charismatic. So different. But I got to tell you what, that we are one in Christ. We are brothers in the Lord. We love one another. We care for one another. We value one another. We build one another up. We encourage one another. We don't sit there and challenge one another and bring people aside, or when we get together for lunch after prayer, talk about how I'm right and you're wrong and why aren't you doing this and you need to do more of this. We don't do that. That's not the body of Christ. That's not how brothers live in unity with one another. We're in unity on the essentials. And we're showing each other liberty on the non-essentials. And in all things, we have charity and love toward one another. And it's a beautiful thing. And God is glorified. In fact, some of those churches are the churches that we gather with periodically throughout the year to do joint services out in the public to show this community, to show the world that the body of Christ is one. It glorifies the Lord when we act that way instead of like spiritual brats. The world is so... they're so turned off often by the church because what they see are a bunch of spiritual brats. And of course, that's what the media loves to hype up and loves to show. So even more so then, we need to be the opposite. We need to relate with one another and live with one another with the opposite spirit. Not the critical spirit, but the charity, the love spirit, the spirit of God Himself. The Apostle Paul talks about how we need all parts of the body. Look it up. I'm not going to go into it. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. He talks about how every single part of the body is so critical and so important. No matter if they look different. The big toe, you know, the ear, whatever. They look very different functions in the body, but they're important. So we must be those who reject this temptation to become what? Spiritual brats. And instead, we need to embrace the opposite spirit, which instructs us. I want to give you two more passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We need to be like this. Encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And I can confidently speak that over this congregation right now. Just as you are doing. And then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14:19, so then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Amen? Amen? Y'all are a good choir. And you're good at building one another up. And you're good at building up the body of Christ. So we're not going to be those spiritual brats. We're not going to be those who are tearing one another down. Rather, we are going to be spiritual encouragers who are cheering one another on to the things of God. Amen? Let's stand up and let's pray.